Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, know one thing that we all have in common. Don't we all want to know the truth? The truth about what's really going on here in this crazy, confusing, often chaotic world. So welcome to the 639th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And this message is titled 2024 Endgame Update Number 3, Fall of the Cabal, Part 8, Validated. Remember, this is Part 8 in our 10-part series honoring Janet Ossenbard, creator of the incredible series Fall of the Cabal, which has been validated. And a bit later in this message, folks, stay tuned, because we're going to tie it all into hypocrites in the sin of Sodom, which, contrary to what many people think, was not homosexuality. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't mean that you weren't homosexuals, and I don't mean that wasn't a sin. But the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. So before Sodom and Gomorrah fell, they were in abundant prosperity and blessings, folks. In fact, they had so much food that they had free time on their hands. And this led to pride, and in their idleness, they committed their iniquity. Does that sound like America today? Folks, we're riddled with filth. From porn to TV streaming programmings that glorify all sorts of sin. So what's this all about? Well, it's a snare crafted by Lucifer and those in power who worship him and are about to enslave the masses. And that's the truth, folks. So I hope you stay tuned, because we're going to learn how that unless we surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're all going to be hypocrites like those in Sodom and Gomorrah. But the bottom line, folks, is that as believers, you know, as always, we're just sojourners and we're just passing through. So I hope you all truly refuse to be destroyed by Lucifer and his all-out war on humanity. And remember how this all got started, folks. This all got started with that lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. And as we do every week, folks, before we get into the new info, let's take a look at something from last week's episode. Now, last week, we covered that bombshell. It was dropped by the former hedge fund wizard David Webb, and that was his book and documentary, The Great Taking. So let's have a re-listen to the clip where he introduces his documentary and his book. And then I have to share somebody else with you that I mentioned last week, but we didn't get into any detail on. So let's have a re-listen to the trailer to The Great Taking.
Which is what FDR did. He suddenly literally closed all the banks, and then only certain banks were allowed to reopen, which were the ones controlled by the Fed. Well, then suddenly no one had any money. It's not hard to imagine when it's all just shut down suddenly. It's about suppression and subjugation. And that's the lesson when you look at this period in the 1930s. And that is what they have planned for this kind of a cycle again. And they've set up for it. So this plan to take all collateral globally and to collapse the system in a kind of controlled demolition where they end up controlling everything this design was set in motion over 50 years ago. Gold is not the underlying collateral in this system. It's all securities globally. So they will be taken under the argument that, well, we have to save these systemically vital institutions so that we can restart the economy again. How could we restart the economy if they are not protected? So that will be the reason given. And it's like a game of Monopoly where all of the pieces, all of the money on the board are pulled back to the bank, and then they say, let's start a new game. We'll start over from the basis that we have everything and you don't. So would you like to borrow something? And this is what the CBDC, the central bank digital currency, will be. It will be very difficult for people to refuse to use it because they literally won't be able to eat. They will have an app they can download. This will be the help. This will be the cavalry riding to the rescue. Just download this app and you can load your phone with some currency to allow you to go buy milk. But every time you use that, you're actually borrowing money from them. They have you. Again, it will happen very fast. This will unfold in a very frightening crisis kind of environment, and people will have difficulty refusing. Even segregated accounts, even people or institutions that have been told that their securities are segregated, are in the same pool and entitled to only a pro rata share in the event of an insolvency of the custodian. So again, segregation is just an appearance. People are told that it's an absolute subterfuge. And the shocking thing is that even sophisticated institutional investors do not understand this, or they don't want to know it.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
Paul, this is a very serious situation we're in. Yes, and if more people knew, I don't think we would have all these little cutesy newscasters talking about all these horrible weather events, which, you know, folks, this was supposed to be a horrible weekend. And the reason I'm doing this early in the morning is because I'm taking Terry to teach today. She has the studio, and she was afraid to drive, but I'm looking outside and, you know, we had about 6 inches of snow. This is normal. They talk about it gets cold when it gets down into the 20s and the wind blows. Our record here was from 1994, 24 degrees below zero. But, you know, I went to work. The kids went to school. Things have changed. But if people knew how crazy this money system is and what they're about to do, they wouldn't tolerate all of this, what do you want to call it, rainbows and unicorns? It's insane. Now, last week I mentioned another guy's name is Parallel Mike. He's on the Parallel System broadcast over on Rumble. He does some really good deep dive analysis into David Webb's book, The Great Taking. So what I'd like to do right now is play the opening to that book from Mike and just have a listen to his tone, his flavor. I'll talk a little bit more about it before we get into the show. And then we're going to dive into one segment of that during our Yellow Brick Road segment. So I think what we're going to launch, provided the Lord's willing, is a deep dive into the Great Taking, because it's fundamental to everything they're doing so that they can accomplish their goal of us owning nothing and being happy. So let's listen to Mike's introduction to David Webb's bombshell, The Great Taking.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Parallel Systems broadcast. I'm your host, Mike, and tonight I've got quite an episode for you. We're going to be reviewing, or should I say looking at, a book that was recently released called The Great Taking. And this is really the counterpart to The Great Reset, as you're going to find out tonight. Now, this book is probably one of the most disturbing books I've read in years, many, many years. In fact, it could be the most disturbing book that I've read in my entire life. I've read some pretty disturbing books, but this one's up there. It's certainly up there. And that's because of the implications of this book. If you understand this book, then you understand that something absolutely catastrophic has been set up, almost like a controlled demolition. Now, I know on this channel we talk a lot about the controlled demolition of the financial system. I've been talking about it from the very beginning. It's what I've always believed was going to happen. And I've done my best to show you the wires of this. And in the very least, I've done my best to show you that even if there is no controlled demolition, there is going to be a collapse anyways, because the system is so warped and destroyed by debt. So what this book actually does is provide us with a key piece of the puzzle that I have not been able to find myself, but I have had my own suspicions, but this book really lays it out. It shows a key piece of the puzzle. I first heard about this on Doug Casey's take. So Matt and Doug have a fantastic YouTube channel over there, and they did an episode about this just the other day. It was about 15 minutes where they gave their take on it. They both read it. I read it immediately the next morning. I read it in one sitting. I couldn't put it down. And afterwards, I felt exhausted. And I needed a stiff drink. And I think if you're going to watch this episode, I would advise you get three stiff drinks ready. One for right now before you hear the subject to get you ready. One whilst you're reading it, and probably one at the end as well to put you to sleep, because you might struggle to sleep after hearing this one. So I'm going to leave it there for the introduction. I'm not going to be editing this one. We're going to do it Bill O'Reilly style. We're going to do it live. We're just going to go straight into this one. Hopefully, I'll pick up on all of the key topics. I've got a little list in front of me. So we'll be bouncing back and forth between this screen and the screen with the camera. So we're going to do that now. We're going to go to it, and I'm going to get my websites open. Oh, hey, here we go. Let's get ourselves into a light mood. Get your stiff drink ready, and we'll just get ourselves into a nice mellow mood, because after that, it's all downhill, I'm afraid to say.
We will leave you with a... I can't do it.
That's a good place to stop, folks. There was a little bit of profanity in that clip that he played. So I do want to warn you about that, but I think what Parallel Mike is doing is amazing. So in the first video on this topic, The Great Taking, he has about 11 parts. And so you heard a little introduction there, who the author was. And then he gets into what the book's about, and why the law, and he's talking about property law, why it matters. And then he explains how it was set up. Then he gets into a further introduction of the book around the 16-minute mark. And this is about an hour-long video, just shy. And then he talks, and this is what we're going to focus on a bit later in the show, the collapse in what's known as the velocity of money. And that only applies essentially to fiat money in the capacity that they're discussing here. Then it gets into this, what's known as the security entitlement trick. And we've talked about this in the past on the show, beneficial versus legal ownership. Just about everything you own, folks, you own with what's known as beneficial ownership, even your property. Legal ownership of your property is with the state, unless you hold title in a lodium. And if you go back through the archives over the last 10 years, even when I was doing the Bible studies, I wove this type of information in there. It's so exciting to see all this come out. So I'm going to encourage you to check out, over on Rumble, The Great Taking by Parallel Mike. He's on the Parallel System Broadcast. Three words, Parallel System Broadcast. But right now, folks, we have to keep moving. And it's time for Sister Kathy's and Brother Alex's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as we do each and every week, let's get started with our coronavirus heist update.
The coronavirus, COVID-19, what all it? Slamdemic, the coronavirus, it's a scamdemic, they call it the great equal life. And say we're all in this together, except for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be. And folks, that ain't either you or me. So let's all wake up to the coronavirus and just say they know that all their lives are uncontrolled. The coronavirus, COVID-19, what all it? Slamdemic.
And it is a big psyop. We all know that. Now, this next clip is one of the Reese Report clips, and I thought Greg Reese did such a good job. And he does these reports are about 5 minutes long, And I think he does a very good job. Now, I know some people are saying he's controlled opposition, and that's fine. And I know some people are saying that he doesn't put enough focus on the creator, if any. And I know that's true. But what we do, like you're going to hear from a new listener in the future, is that we take this information, we parse it like eating fish. You know, you have to take the good with the bad, and the bad is the bones. The good is the flesh of the fish, and you have to kind of pick those bones out of it. So, you know, I'll set a little backstory here. In this clip, he's going to cover the work of Dennis Rancourt. Now, we've covered him in past shows. We've played a lot of his clips, and he has a PhD in physics. He was a former tenured full professor, published over 100 articles in leading science journals, and he has set about now in his retirement years to analyze the metadata from all of this scamdemic. And he's covering, Greg's covering his latest research, the latest research of Dennis Rancourt here. And what Dennis has discovered is that using all-cause mortality, he has proven that about 17 million deaths resulted from this COVID-19 scamdemic. Now, not the deaths from the ventilators and whatever bioweapon they sprayed over cities, because if you look at the way these pathogens supposedly spread, doesn't make any sense. But anyways, then he goes into something that's very interesting here. And I love the way he tied it in. So these deaths, and this is the premise of this video, these deaths are not from COVID. Get this, folks. And this is what's so insane. These deaths are not from COVID. That's a lie, but rather from stress. It's also known as psychosomatic or voodoo death.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Paul, I'm very serious. It's known as psychosomatic or voodoo death. Plus, he covers the backstory on the allopathic medical monopoly. We're going to get a bit of that more right later in the show. But let's have a listen, and you're going to even hear a clip from Bill Clinton's book on how he's been fascinated with voodoo since he and his Hilda Beast wife Hillary honeymooned in Haiti, like, what was it, 100 years ago or something? So without any more babbling from me, let's listen to this clip from Greg Reese. It's about 5 minutes long. And just, I always encourage you to do your own research, and I've done it on this, folks, and this is shocking. What you're going to hear now is plain shocking. So I'm setting my timer because I'm going to go grab a cup of coffee while this is playing, but let's have a listen.
Dennis Rancourt has a PhD in physics. He is a former tenured professor and has published over 100 articles in leading science journals. Rancourt and his team have used all-cause mortality data to prove there have been about 17 million deaths as a result of official COVID-19 measures, but not from COVID, which was a lie.
As far as I can tell from all-cause mortality data that we've been studying extensively for a long time, there's no such thing as a viral respiratory pandemic.
He explains all this in his essay entitled, "Was No Pandemic," which you can find on his Substack.
There was no pandemic in the sense that there was not a particularly virulent new pathogen that was spreading and causing death. That is not what happened. What happened was assaults against vulnerable people by many different methods, and every time you did that, you caused excess mortality. In all the countries where they were not doing that, there was absolutely no excess mortality, even if it was a jurisdiction that was right beside the one that was doing this.
Rancourt explains a science of psychological murder that has been officially studied and documented for well over a century. It wasn't just the spike protein that killed us. It was the whole damn thing.
Psychological stress and social isolation are dominant determinants of an individual's health. That causes a suppression of your immune system, and you're going to get some kind of infection, cancer, heart disease, and very often the lungs are very exposed to the environments and they're subjected to all the bacteria that you live with all the time. You get bacterial pneumonia. And it's a huge killer when a society is stressed, meaning all of its individuals are stressed, The kind of psychological stress that kills you is when your entire world is turned upside down. Your whole life you thought you had a place in the world, and it's gone. That will kill you within a very short time. We always occupy a dominance hierarchy, a social dominance hierarchy. That is how we organize our societies because we are social animals. It is a fundamental truth of how we organize societies. The stress that is intended to keep you in your place within that dominance hierarchy is an everyday chronic stress. And the stressors have to keep changing how they're going to stress you because you get habituated to the stress. So they have to randomly hit you with hard things every once in a while to really make sure you understand what your place is. That stress is one of the biggest determinants of health. But we have to admit that medicine itself is a massive killer. It's a massive cause of premature death of individuals.
Modern Western medicine is officially recognized as the third highest cause of death. It was designed to be a way of controlling the population.
The role of medicine as an institution in our society is to maintain the dominance hierarchy, is to keep people sick and to put them in their place. It's just part of that institutionally.
Financed by the Carnegie Foundation and published in 1910, the Flexner Report was used to outlaw natural medicine practices in America. The Rockefeller Foundation then funded a new kind of medicine, an inverted form of healthcare that utilized petrochemical drugs and experimental surgery to keep people sick and, in many cases, kill the patient. As Dennis Rancourt has pointed out, this is how societies have been run for centuries. A declassified document entitled Geomagnetic Factors in Spontaneous, Subjective, Telepathic, Precognitive, and Postmortem Experiences, as well as Decades of Trauma-Based Mind Control Research, shows us that the CIA and our governments are well aware of the deadly effects that traumatizing a population can induce. They are killing us with fear and trauma. This is known as psychogenic death or psychosomatic death. It is the phenomenon of sudden death brought about by strong emotional shock. Chairman of the Department of Physiology at Harvard Medical School, Walter Cannon, called it voodoo death, because mind control is the main method used in voodoo rituals, which is well understood by our world leaders. Bill and Hillary Clinton spent their honeymoon in Haiti at a voodoo ritual, which Bill claims inspired him to run for political office.
I was particularly intrigued by the voodoo religion. Voodoo's central ritual is a dance during which spirits possess believers. On the most interesting day of the trip, I got the chance to observe voodoo in practice. After several minutes of rhythmic dancing to pounding drums, the spirits arrived, seizing a woman and a man. The man proceeded to rub a burning torch all over his body and walk on hot coals without being burned. The woman, in a frenzy, screamed repeatedly, then grabbed a live chicken and bit its head off. By the time we got back from Haiti, I had determined to run for Attorney General.
Greg Reese reporting.
Wow, folks, there was so much information in there, I can't even begin to tell you. Now, I'm on my phone because I didn't come back from my coffee fast enough, so we're going to do a switch over here. Hold on.
Okay, back on the headset. To mute my phone, apologies for that, folks. But the coffee keeps me going here. So anyways, there's some things that I want to point out there. You heard where Dennis Rancourt was talking about the stress and how it creates this trauma in people. Now, where do the people turn for the relief from their trauma? Well, they turn to Big Daddy, Big Brother, whatever you want to call the state. And we're going to get into that a little bit later in the show. Folks, the bottom line is that we must keep our sights fixed on Jesus. We must be watching and praying. You know, the book of Revelation warns us about the sorcery, and this is from the Greek word pharmakia, that enriches the kings of the earth and deceives the masses. Isn't that what they did with the COVID jab? Isn't that what they do with chemotherapy for cancer patients? What an atrocity that is. The truth is that man has been given by our Creator all these natural remedies from the Most High. They work. In fact, that's where most of the allopathic medicine was derived from. And the reason they do that is you can't take the natural compounds and patent them. So what they do is they try to make a knockoff to what God's already created. And it's through the use and knowledge of herbs and herbal remedies and homeopathic remedies. You know, homeopathy was totally destroyed, with all intents and purposes here. Yeah, there is still homeopathic medicine, but it's very difficult to practice it. It was all destroyed by allopathic medicine. And when you do this, your sights are taken off the creation and the Creator and put on to man and government. And the Bible tells us to stay away from sorcery and spells. These are evil people, I'm telling you, folks, and they're in the process of removing the Most High Creator from every element of our life, even when we go to church and quote-unquote worship. And a little bit more on that a bit later. There's only one thing worthy of our worship, and that's Jehovah Elohim. Anything else, folks, even if you're going to your church and doing the right thing, which is praise, prayer, and worship to the Creator, if you're going there to do that for brownie points, if you're doing that to fit in, if you're doing that because you have a good voice and you're on the worship team and you want to perform, if you're doing any of the, if you're doing those right things for the wrong reason, it's the worst kind of treason. I never forget that. So they're making the state God, and like I said, a bit more on that later. Now, if you'd like more information on what we just covered there, there's two good articles. One's on the TriTorch Substack page, By Your Magic Spells, All Nations Were Led Astray. I mean, you go to that page and you look at it, it's a deep dive. In fact, we could do a show on that one page alone. In fact, we may do that next week. That might be next week's COVID segment. So I'm putting a star by that. For example, they show the WHO logo there, and it's the serpent wrapped around the staff in front of the world, divided into 33 sectors. Can't make this stuff up, folks. And I'm telling you, this is a direct representation of the serpent wrapped around the tree of knowledge in the Garden of Eden as he beguiled Eve. You know that story. Only in the WHO's case, this time it's the snake imposing his dominance over the entire earth. And he is the prince of this world, folks. The fallen archangel, the cherub. The cherub of cherubs, the angel of angels, Lucifer, has fallen, and he's now Satan, and this is his dominion. So rather than tempting with the proverbial apple in the garden, now they're tempting with all sorts of pills that are going to solve your problems. And that's what the serpent offers. And there's also another good one out there. It's a documentary about the scam that occurred in Ireland. It's called Bad Moon Rising, Agents for Democide. Very good documentary showing how a couple news people, Luke O'Neill and Claire Byrne, they played a major pivotal role in gaslighting and conning the people of Ireland to submit to these bioweapons, more commonly known as jabs. But I'm looking at the clock. We have a lot to cover today. And right now, it's time for our Kabuki Theater update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police reform, the 2020 election. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater. Japanese, means Japanese. Ka means soul. Boo means dance. Ki means skill from the verb. Kabu means to slam or display. Folks, it's all a lie. It's the flattened curve. The curve of the economy, stupid. Must slow down the velocity of money. Or will hyperinflate before we're done. Stealing it all. Trump, bad. Must go. Good is bad. Bad is good. Up is down. Light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for Agenda 2030. And the new world will just say no to it all. And wake up before it's too late.
Now, talk about Kabuki Theater. I never thought when we started these emergency broadcasts nearly 4 years ago when the scamdemic was unleashed upon the world, I never thought I would see the amount of Kabuki Theater now. But if you're following what's going on, there's buzz in the news. It's even leaking into the mainstream media about some sort of cataclysmic black swan. It's referred to generically as the event. Now, Paul Joseph Watson talks about Google preparing for this quote-unquote event in this next clip. And what I'd like to do is get Paul Joseph Watson's thoughts on this, and then I'll share mine. So let's have a listen to Paul Joseph Watson's about 2.5-minute clip, and I'll catch you on the other side.
So you know how top billionaires have been busy preparing for what they call the event, a cataclysmic earth-changing occurrence that for some unknown reason will force them all to scuttle away to their luxury underground doomsday bunkers, some kind of mysterious black swan event, the true nature of which no one saw coming. But whatever it is going to be pretty damn bad. Well, it seems Google is preparing for something of that nature too. An email sent to Google advertisers notifies them of a change to the platform's inappropriate content policy. From February onwards, Google will have new rules in place in response to the sensitive event. What sensitive event? Dunno, but it seems like they're expecting one to happen after next month. For your advertiser, in February 2024, Google will update the inappropriate content policy to clarify the definition of sensitive events. Examples of sensitive events include events with significant social, cultural, or political impact, basically anything then, such as civil emergencies, natural disasters, public health emergencies, terrorism and related activities, conflict, or mass acts of violence. What is this sensitive event that they anticipate, and why the need for that change? Or could the explanation be more prosaic? Carl Benjamin suggests that Google is ramping up for mass censorship and that the sensitive event is just the US presidential election. Possibly, but the bottom line of the screenshot suggests that this isn't primarily aimed at YouTubers or Google AdSense clients who put Google ads on their website. It's aimed at the advertisers themselves. YouTube already has a robust sensitive events ad restriction, which makes it hard to monetize videos that talk about tragedies. Unless you're a mainstream media outlet, of course, in which case you can monetize virtually anything. What do you think? Is this just another tightening of the screws as the US presidential election season gets underway? Or does it have something to do with the event that has all the billionaires scrambling to build their end times bunkers?
A little food for thought there, isn't it, folks? Anyways, in my humble opinion, this sensitive event won't actually be a specific singular event, but rather a catch-all term for any event they deem beyond criticism. Now, as the chessboard plays out, so to speak, those in this globalist camp and those opposing it make their moves, and there has to be adjustments. So, for example, any future war, any future pandemic, any future pedophile ring that's discovered, and these are the tensions between both parties, and this is a global battle, and I believe it's between the York and Scottish Rites, and I believe Trump is in the Scottish Rite, and I believe the Biden camp and these globalists are in the York Rite, and we've covered that in exhaustive detail in past shows. Any future mostly peaceful protest, whatever it may be, they're going to deem this as a quote-unquote sensitive event, and then they're going to start to control information. So any action that's taken against the former President Trump, who's become pretty much of a political wild card right now by the deep state, they're just going to control it according to their plan. So they're going to slap this label, critical event, and then with no speculation or public discourse permitted, they're going to push a narrative. It could be Trump. Oh, don't get me going on Trump, okay? Now, I'm not the only one saying he's actually controlled opposition. In a recent article on Leo Holman's Substack page titled "Deep State Admits It's Working Behind the Scenes to Strip Trump of Constitutional Powers of the Presidency Should He Get Elected in November," you can check that over at the leoholman.substack.com page. So just like Leo Holman, I believe Trump's being used as Leo calls it, a radioactive straw man. I've talked about that too, folks. Controlled opposition, as I've said. How many times have I said that here on the podcast in the past? Now, whether or not Trump knows he's being used, that's another story, and I'm not quite certain about it, but I'm telling you he's being used. Now, I think, and Leo's kind of along this same line of thought, that this is intended to further divide the country and keep our attention focused on this left, right, red, blue And almost like that sophomoric high schoolish, oh, I'm with Burl, and we're going to play Valley tonight, and we got to beat our arch enemy Valley. Yeah, it's not the way it works in the real world, folks, but that's what they have us reduced to, a bunch of sophomores cheering for our football team. And they do that so that our focus remains there instead of where it belongs. And our focus should be on the blue bloods and the 13 families and the globalist money people who are engineering this event to create the Great Reset. And then they're going to have the masses worship the blue bloods and defend the blue bloods, because the blue bloods are going to have the solution to the problem they created, the reaction they stirred up in the masses. And then they're going to have their tidy little solution: central bank digital currency, digital IDs, forced vaccinations, 15-minute cities. You see where this is going, folks? And that's how they do it. Now, all the planning, all this planning to take it all is grounded and founded upon the economy and what David Webb calls the Great Taking, because they need to own everything. You know, Terry and I watched a very good Netflix original historical movie the other evening on Robert the Bruce. That came after Braveheart, so to speak. You know, William Wallace, who stirred up the people of Scotland to throw off the oppression of King Richard. Well, Robert the Bruce finally rose to the occasion as the King of Scotland, and he did it. But when you watch that story, what you see is this feudalistic mindset. We have to pay your tithe or your taxes to the landowners who are subservient to the king. And that's what they want today, folks, for all of us, where we'll own nothing and be happy. So these globalists in the deep state believe now's the time to allow a politician like Trump with his America First message to rise to prominence. And I believe that's what's happening. 2024, I believe it will be Donald J. Trump. But beware, folks, because Trump is not our savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is. So since they know they've already seized control and they have control of most of the power structure, you know, from the CIA to the FBI, and I know there's supposed to be some white hats in the military, but I haven't seen them, folks. I'm going to even say the military. So they have the entire swamp under their control, all the bureaucracy, so to speak. Now, wouldn't it make sense to allow Donald Trump to run and even win, to draw out all the American people who share his anti-globalistic vision and his America First MAGA type philosophy? You know what I'm saying? So maybe without even knowing it, Trump's the useful idiot, and he's going to lead his followers to slaughter, just like he did on January 6th. And what better way to draw out all the people with similar mindsets, the Trump supporters, the nationalists, the people that are awake and knowledgeable to the truth, like you and me? What better way to draw us out than to put our guy, so to speak, in power? You know, it's going to absolutely drive the minion wild, and there's going to be all sorts of civil unrest. And I even believe some sort of low-grade civil war. Again, all controlled opposition. I'm telling you, folks, the bait's being ready. And this will also give the deep state a pretense to round up all the Trump supporters, saying they're a danger to society and a danger to democracy. How many times have I heard that? It gets me sick. They're going to accuse the Trumpers of the very sin they're guilty of, destroying democracy. And this reminds me of what Sue, my sister-in-law, told me about back in December. Operations Pogo and Zephyr. And I think we're going to have to do a little bit more on that too. And I'm seeing all of this coalesce now. After nearly 30 years of research, I see the end game, folks. And that's why I call these the end game update. So that's my takeaway from this shocking news report from Leo Holman. It looks like the globalist occupiers in Washington are getting ready for their big event. You know, what we covered with Paul Joseph Watson. You know, this event that Google's preparing for, that everybody else is preparing for, the event, I think that's what's happening here. And the sad thing is that the public falls for it every time. Why? Because they don't have their sights fixed on Jesus. They have their sights fixed on the government. I was given this book, this history book for schools, U.S. government book. And it was published right after World War II. It was the textbook in a lot of classrooms here in Pennsylvania. And it showed pictures of the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Health, the Department of Education, and how all of these departments were helping the people. And it created this almost God creation situation where the government was God and we were the minion of the creator government. And it's so sickening when you see that sort of stuff, because what it does is it enables the government to stir the pot, so to speak, and create fear and the anxiety, the things that Rancourt was talking about in the Reese report, tension. And then where do the people turn to? The very creators of the tension, to look for the solution, problem, reaction, solution. You see how this is all fitting together? But we should never fear. Paul wrote in his first letter to Timothy that the Lord did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And he said that we could have a spirit, not a spirit, though, but the spirit, the Holy Spirit, which tells me to rest in him, to fear not, to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, folks, what greater comfort than that? Now, I've been rambling, and I'm looking at the clock, and I have to keep moving. So I pray that none of you are deceived by all these machinations of the deep state and their minion as they take orders from the evil one. And I shudder when I think about what's being planned behind closed doors. Now, another guy I follow on Substack, second smartest guy, he also has some thoughts on it, and he's calling it the sensitive event. Now, he's been warning about PSYOP, Cyber Polygon for quite a while now, and I think that his position on this is it's continuing along this whole thing with these tabletop exercises and a possible takedown of the Internet. So that's what second guy is saying. He thinks it's going to be a takedown of the Internet. Now, this corrupt Luciferian-inspired beast, also known as the federal government, they're going to have a solution to this when it comes down. And they're going to blame it on hackers, and then we're probably going to have some sort of biometric identification, maybe an iris scan or a thumbprint. You know, they're even having these facial recognition locks on Apple phones now. But I suspect something like that could be coming if second guy is correct. Now, for the most part, the masses are going to trust whatever the federal government says as the gospel truth, with whatever the solution is to this problem that they created for the sensitive event. Now, according to a thinker known as Isabel Patterson, this is because our public or government schools, as she calls them, have gone out of control. So what I'd like to do right now is play a clip of Marcus from 11 Labs introducing this quote, and then we're going to have Victoria read it. And I'm really starting to see the benefit that you can do with some of the sin voices, synthetic voices out there, not sinful voices, synthetic voices, to help a one-man show like this podcast become a little bit more rounded. So let's have Marcus and Victoria tell us about this incredible insight from libertarian Isabel Patterson.
Libertarian Isabel Patterson.
Sorry, I had the sound off there. Let's do that again.
In 1943, libertarian Isabel Patterson opposed government schools because the same promoted government supremacy, Isabel Patterson, the god of the machine. 1943.
Every politically controlled educational system will inculcate the doctrine of state supremacy sooner or later. Has been accepted, it becomes an almost superhuman task to break the stranglehold of the political power over the life of the citizen. It has had his body, property, and mind in its clutches from infancy. An octopus would sooner release its prey. A tax-supported compulsory educational system is the complete model of the totalitarian state.
Gosh. Golly. Golly. Gosh.
She nailed it there, folks. That is the key. Stalin said that. Stalin preached it. And when you think about some of the methodologies of Stalin from the capture of the education system, and he said, give me your children, and in a generation, I'll own your nation. He also told the story about the chickens that he would abuse by plucking all their feathers, causing incredible pain to that chicken. Then he'd set the chicken down, and the chicken would follow him around like he was his best friend. That's what they're doing here. And folks, this is no laughing matter. Now, a bit later in the show, we're going to hear Josh Reed and Dave Whitehead from the Conversations on the Fringe talk about the royal family and how this all ties into the fall of the cabal. Not just the royal family of England, but all these blue bloods in Europe, the black nobility, so to speak. But in this next clip, I have Josh and Dave talking about worship, and I thought it was very good, so let's have a listen.
The thing about these tyrants is they do love to brag, don't they? Mm-hmm. I mean, why conquer the world unless you can get some kudos for it? What would be the real point? If you're just getting the applause in secret somewhere, like you have to have ways, if you're a megalomaniacal psychopath, of getting worship. Remember, these people want your worship. 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 Worship.
Hold on. Because it's interesting that the perspective of the English language, especially when we start talking about King James English versions, interpretations of the Bible, like right. Words like worship. Now, what's a worship in modern day if we're going to talk about military?
You would know about this.
Well, I was in the United States Navy, and a warship is the defensive mechanism of the waters. Now the Queen rules over the waters, which rise above the land, right? The law of water rises above the law of land, which means that the Queen is above the people, okay? She is the head of the Garter. Okay, the Knights of Garter, which is representative by the water. We have the blue color we were just talking about earlier, okay? So when we start to think about this is, man, I'm losing my train of thought. But, okay.
Worship, water,
worship. Yeah, there it is, worship. The warship is the defense of the water, okay? Right. Defense of the water. Typically from other ships or from land, from earth, okay? So what do the people on the land do? They worship an idol, idolatry. Why? Because it protects the secrets of the water. It protects the secrets and the rulers of over the water. And so then
the people believe they're worshiping their protector, their mother, the sacred mother, the sacred father.
Yep.
You get the father pope and the mother queen, right? So that's the parents. In psychology, you have the, there's a whole psychological complex with mom and dad, right? If you haven't become an individuated adult and you haven't matured, then you will always be looking for a mommy daddy figure, right? They know this is basic psychology. So if they can become the stand-in, the vicars of that, if they can become parents for you, then you will worship them and protect them because you believe they are doing what a parent does for you, which is providing for you, protecting for you, training you for life, all those things. So instead of becoming an adult, now you have a whole civilization that's in arrested development that is looking to these figures, external figures, as being the new parental kings and queens that will save the day, the savior complex.
The savior complex. You see where this is going, folks? Do you see how these deep state minion have taken we the people and made us much too complacent by bread and circus, just like the emperors in Rome did? Now, for the most part, the masses have thrown their critical thinking out the window. And we've done show after show after show on critical thinking. And they've become far, far, far too trusting of the government as a parental figure. You thought the cheating was bad in the 2020 election with the electronic voting machines? Wait until you hear this next one. This is an interview Kamala Harris did admitting that the Biden-Harris 2024 plan is to run without an opponent. Now, that's a term. You're not supposed to look over your shoulder while you're running the race. But is that what she really meant? Or did she have a more ulterior motive to this? Short 20-second clip. Let's have a listen, and I'll show you where I'm going with this.
Some are concerned you all may be a little too confident. And why not go out and attack Donald Trump, go after his legal challenges? What are you guys waiting for?
Well, let me just tell you something. I am of the school that you either run without an opponent or you run scared. I have learned that to be a fact, and that is the way that I feel about any election.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You realize right now that Michelle Obama, as he goes by, is being positioned to possibly replace the Biden-Harris ticket. But that's a story for another day, because I'm telling you, this narrative about running without an opponent even gets a bit better. Now, this next clip is from Davos 2024. It's an interview that Klaus Schwab was doing with Google chairman or Google CEO. I just forgot the guy's name. I don't know if I have him in my notes here. Let's see. Yeah. Sergey Brin. In this interview, he's talking about artificial intelligence and how it began as an analytical tool. Then it became a predictive tool, and soon it will be a prescriptive tool. So let's have a listen to what it will actually be used for prescriptively, and this will blow your mind.
The technology now is, and digital technologies mainly have an analytical power. Now we go into a predictive power, and we have seen the first examples, and your company very much involved into it. But since the next step could be to go into a prescriptive mode, which means you do not even have to have elections anymore, because you can already predict, and afterwards you can say, why do we need elections? Because we know what the result will be.
Are you serious?
Oh, Paul, I'm very serious. You know, during that discussion, that was just Sergey is over there just nodding his head like, oh, yeah, this is really good. Really good? This is a threat to democracy, the very thing they're blaming the Trump camp on doing. Do you see how this is? This is from the Rules for Radicals. Blame your opponent or accuse your opponent of doing what you are doing. So technology is actually an analytical power now. You can use it as a predictive power, and they want to make it a prescriptive power. It reminds me of the Minority Report movie, not so much for voting, but for catching criminals before the act. Isn't this sick? You see where this is going, folks? Now, going from predictive to prescriptive power, ominous, very serious issue, and it's happening. And Schwab wants to take this next step to predictive modes, which means that you and me won't even be essential for elections anymore. They'll know what we want. They'll know what's best for us. That's more of that parent figure. And that's the contempt they hold for you and me, the masses. Remember, they refer to us as the goyim, the useless eaters, the cattle, the graze, and browse. We have no purpose if they don't need us for the sweat of our brow because of AI and robotics. So what are they going to do? Significantly reduce our population to a sustainable level where they'll have enough little worker bees to man their resorts and mend the machines until the machines can do that themselves. And there will come a day where they don't even need that. And this reminds me of a portion out of the Pilgrim's Progress that C.S. Lewis wrote, where he went on the top of the summit and he met, oh, I just forgot the man's name, the man who stripped his entire property bare of its soil and all he could grow were a few little thin radishes, sterilized the dirty, biologically active earth and left it nothing but cold, dead stone. And that's what they want to do here. I mean, we are dangerously low CO2 levels right now when you look at the historic patterns from ice records and what you need to support life. So you have to ask yourself where this is going, folks. It's not going in a good place. But I have to keep moving. And right now, it's time for our money segment which we call Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick, follow the Yellow Brick, follow the Yellow Brick Road. You're up to see the river, the wonderful river above. You'll find the end of the river, the wind, if ever a river was. If ever a river was, there was the river above. We won because of the wonderful things he does. You're up to see the river, the wonderful river above.
Now, the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. So you have to love the money, and then you have to recognize that when you place your worship or your love or the focus of your attention on money, it becomes the root of all your evil. And if you want to see where that evil stems from, all you have to do is follow the yellow brick road, which is the money trail. Now, there's three articles here. I just want to mention their title and where they're located, and then I want to get into something with regard to this concept known as the velocity of money. And it reminds me of something Thomas Jefferson said, that when you give a bank the power to control the issuance of money, first through inflation and then through deflation, soon they'll own the land that your forefathers fought so hard for. And that's what they're doing. That's the great taking. But I want to just knock off these three articles. U.S. Banking System at Risk, FDIC Hiding Truth. This is over at adify.app. That's 8IFY, 8, just spell the word 8 out, EIGHTIFY.app, and you'll see that article. Read it. It'll blow your mind. And then this other one over at thedailydoom.com, thedailydoom.com, banks tank, cooling inflation heats up, and global warming freezes over faster than hell. And finally, the third one's over at thecryptopolitan.com. Bank of America could collapse in 2024. Take a look. Cold data here, folks. Things that Shadowstats.com. It'll come to me. I've been following Shadowstats.com for 20 years now, and he's right on. Anyways, what I'd like to do now is go back to Parallel Mike and the Parallel Systems and play a clip that's about 4 minutes long where Mike explains the velocity of money and a meeting that David Webb had with George Soros. Now, we paint George Soros out to be the bad man, the villain, and he is playing that role, but he's also a useful idiot because the movers and shakers behind him, the blue bloods, the 13 families behind the scenes, they're the ones that are actually doing all this. Soros is one of their minion, useful idiots, so they allow him to become extremely wealthy and play out his little political causes as he abides in their program. So let's have a listen to what Parallel Mike has to say in this next clip. In my opinion, folks, it's a real eye-opener.
Now, another part of this book that I just wanted to refer back to is in the prologue where he talks about his meeting with George Soros in the early 2000s, because this is actually quite relevant. I carried into the meeting a single piece of paper. This was a graph showing that the growth rate of U.S. capital spending had blown through 5 standard deviations above the mean. That's significant. Having never in history broken above 3. I explained that this meant there would inevitably be a historic bust. Soros looked closely at the paper. Then he looked at me and he said, "This is good." He studied the paper further, looked at me again and said, "This is very good." He did not disagree with me about the bust, but he did say, "They cannot allow equity culture to fail." I said, "What can they do that they haven't already done?" He said in answer, "You don't know what they can do." So in such a moment, even George Soros spoke of they. Who are they? That's an important question. Who are they? Who are the people that control this? Again, I've done episodes on this on my podcast. I can only speak about it so much because, let's face it, nobody actually truly knows who they are. We can look at how certain things were done. We can see the hallmarks of they. We can see the clues and the trail of they. But ultimately, there is probably a certain amount of distance you want to keep yourself from whoever they actually are. What we do know is that they have created the largest Ponzi scheme in human history, and the collapse of this scheme is going to be used to head us all into a totalitarian future. And that is something that this person, David Webb, mentions multiple times in this book. Now, another thing that I just want to point out before we get into the actual equities part is that one of the key metrics that David measures as a market analyst is the velocity of money. And he talks about how throughout history, the velocity of money has been telling us when we are heading towards a out-and-out crash. So he talks here about in the early 19th century, leading up to the Great War, there was a collapse in the velocity of money. We saw it collapse. Then within a few years, the Russian, Austro-Hungarian, and Ottoman empires ceased to exist. Now, in my recent episode of the podcast, I talk about how when the Bank of England was first created, following that, Britain was used to start the mechanisms that would bring down other nations that were on debt-free systems. I'm talking about systems where there was no central bank lending fiat money at interest. And it just so happens that Russia was one of them, and also the Austro-Hungarian Empire was another. So it's interesting that that was the trajectory of war after Britain got the Bank of England. So you have to understand that story to understand how we got to where we are, and also to understand the arc of history. Goes on to say, the German economy was destroyed. Then following that, we had the Great Depression, the Second World War, and the slow collapse of the British Empire. No populations were unscathed, and there were no winners, or were they? While there was widespread deprivation, selected banking interests took the collateral of thousands of banks which were forced to close, as well as of a great many people and businesses large and small, the indebted. In the US, gold held by the public was confiscated, but most importantly, closely held curative private control of central banks and money creation was maintained, as was the aforementioned control of the society's key institutions, including political parties, governments, intelligence agencies, armed forces, police, major corporations, and media. And I will add to that that after the Second World War was when we had this host of global institutions, the NGOs, the United Nations, the World Bank, the IMF, they were all formed on the back of this. So that was when we started to go to this global system, which right now is looking to be the global system that's going to be supplanting all of our nation's sovereignty. So it's interesting. You have to understand the timeline here.
What?
Yeah, Paul, that's what I said the first time I heard it. Now, as he was talking, I thought, you know, he's a very good teacher for this topic. So I made some notes, and next week, provided the Lord's willing, in the Yellow Brick Road segment, we're going to cover the pivotal year 1973. Now, most people know that that was the year that Richard Nixon took the U.S. dollar off the gold standard, but that's the same year a couple other things happened. And we're going to focus on one of those things, which are so essential to this great taking. Now, it's right about 3 past the hour when I normally start, and I'm seeing the soundboard populate with listeners right now, and I want to apologize. I had to start early. I'm taking Terry to work today because we had a weather event. And I want to make sure she's safe and she doesn't have any issues on icy roads. So I got started an hour early. If you're one of the live listeners, you can go back and catch the first hour in the archive right after the show. But right now, folks, it's time for our Outer Limit segment.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image. Make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur, or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
Now, speaking of the outer limits, folks, what we're going to talk about today is out there. And, of course, you're going to hear more of this in our tribute to Karen Osenbard in Fall of the Cabal, Part 8. But I'm referring to the royal families of Europe and their occult practices. And they're out there. Now, if you go to Google or if you go to even DuckDuckGo or Bing or any of these, what do you want to call them, normie search engines, and you type in royal families and their occult practices, you don't get much. But if you go to Yandex, the Russian site, and you type that in, oh my. And that's where I found this information that I'm going to share with you now. Now, we heard the guys, Josh and Dave, at the beginning talk about the nanny state, so to speak. And that was about 2 hours and 30 minutes into this incredible broadcast they had over at the Seraphim, the occult royal families. Now, this is from their Conversations on the Fringe podcast. And in this particular one, they talked about the occult royal families. It's a long one. It's about 2.5 hours long. I would recommend you listen to it. And you can get it over at theseraphim.com, and it's titled The Occult Royal Families. So Seraphim is spelled S-E-R-A-P-E-U-M. Seraphim, and just put the letters T-H-E in front of it. So theseraphim.com. And I promise you, this will blow your mind. So let's have a listen to about the first, how much time do we have on this one? I didn't even write. Oh, it's about 8 minutes long, and I'll catch you on the other side with my thoughts. Hang on, because this one will blow your mind.
And here we are. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you're in the world. My name is Josh. That is David Whitehead. This is the Red Pill Project's Conversations on the Fringe. This is where we talk about those things that aren't talked about in normal society, the things that usually aren't brought up in normal conversation unless you're probably talking to me. And the things that David and I have been studying and researching for well over two decades, this conversation tonight is going to be one of high interest for a lot of people out there. We're going to be talking about occultism, royal bloodlines, Queen Elizabeth, the royal family of Windsor, which is actually not the family of Windsor. It's Saxo-Coburg-Gotha. And so, yeah, we're going to have some fun tonight. This is going to be absolutely awesome. And so we're talking about bloodlines, royalty, divine right to rule, all this stuff, occultism. David's got some awesome slides, and I'm just going to really just hand it over, the reins over to him. He's got tons of content for tonight. Dave, how you doing, man?
Josh, always good to be here with you, man. And you're the man to do this show with. By the way, I love your shirt. I got to get me
that.
One of those.
You're a big
that
bro.
That is legit. It's true. That's why. It's funny because it's true.
Yep.
And, yeah, we're talking about what everybody's talking about. I can't even check the weather in Canada, and I live in Canada. I know, tough life. But, hey, here we are. We're surviving. You can't even check the weather network without seeing notices about the Queen. I think every human being on the face of the earth knows about this. The Queen, according to the mainstream media, recently passed away after 96 years of reigning. And we're going to get into the whole history from a different perspective than I think a lot of people have heard, although I know you have a very educated audience, Josh, and I'm glad to be here with all of them as well. And we want to see your comments. We want to hear your questions. We want your loud screams as we go through this, whatever it's going to be. We want to hear it. We're going to go and look at the occult history of the royals and how they tie into the vast secret society networks and how they are contributing and have contributed for many decades and centuries to the unfolding global conspiracy.
That's it, man. And, you know, you mentioned that apparently she died. Now, this is interesting because you texted me something pertaining to the funeral procession. They do it 10 days, day zero to day 10. And you said, this is the most ritualistic family in the history, right? And I said, then why did they just delay day zero? So people that don't know, apparently she died yesterday. They delayed day zero to start the funeral processional cycle till today. And then I went and looked at the calendar, and do you know what today is, tonight is?
Oh, I know yesterday was the full moon.
Nope, today is the harvest moon.
Today's the harvest moon.
Today is the harvest moon, day zero.
Ah.
So I don't
find it with the lunar calendar.
That's right. I don't even think that she – I think she probably died a few days ago or probably a week or so. But
some
people think
she's been dead for a year, 2 years, three. It's been – because, I mean, remember that address that came out for Christmas, I think it was, or something recently?
And it looked all CGI.
It was all CGI. It was, and they were talking about it on BBC News. They're like, isn't it cute? It looks like the real queen, but we all know it's not. And
I was like, well,
why isn't it?
Yep. Yep, full moon is – well, some people are saying the full moon is on the 10th, but you have 2 days of a full moon. But it's the harvest moon, and I think they wanted to get it as close to that as possible. You know, interesting thing, and the word monarchy is when we start looking at the word monarchy. And this is kind of an esoteric type of lesson people learn, is that the word moon, derives from the word moon. So moonarchy is moon rule, and the divine right to rule comes from those who are represented by the moon, because what is the one object that sits between Earth and the sun, or the sun as in being the occult god? It's the moon. And so if you represent the moon, you are the divine right, the divine lineage to the Earth and the sun to rule over the Earth. The moon rules over the Earth. So this is where we get this derivation of this word monarchy, which I think is pretty cool. And then I found it interesting that they're throwing her death day zero on the day of the harvest moon, which is even crazier. But yeah, dude, this is
well,
crazy.
They are. It's good you brought it up. And these are the things that we look in. We're kind of peering in from the outside. We're just part of the surf class, you know, number one. So we're just kind of looking up at the hallowed halls of the elites of the world and trying to decode all of their crazy symbolism and ritual nature. And we've been saying this for a long time, every time I've come on this show, and of course I've been talking about this a lot with my good friend Michael Tessarian, who I host the Unslaved podcast with. Check it out at unslaved.com. And I'm going to be leaning on some of his research today, just giving you a few snippets of things that you can expect to find at that website. And the reason I promote someone like Michael is that he is basically, for those that don't know who he is, he's a collector of rare pieces of information that 99.9% of people, even in this movement, have never read before. He's a chronicler of our time, and he's got loads of sources. And when we look at symbolism, oh my God, a whole thing opens up when you start studying the royals. And so we've got what we see on the surface, just like so many other things. And then there's what's going on beneath the surface. And I'm more interested in what's going on beneath the surface. And this could all just be a boring symbology, esoteric history lesson, unless it was very relevant to what is happening in the world. And we all know that we've got now Prince Charles, King Charles. He's the new king, and there's some symbolism with just the way the ancients used to do these things, where a king would pass the torch to another king, or a queen to a king, or vice versa. And so part of me wonders if some of the freaky things going on with their calendars has to do with, it's not just a normal situation. This is a huge moment in the royal history where the queen is passing the baton to the king. And all of this stuff has an origin that didn't originate in what we're taught. We're not taught about the origin of these ideas. And so when we get into why are these still around even? Like, number one, that was my question. Like, most people go, does the queen even have any power? Like, she's just like a decoration, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, why do we even still have monarchy? It's the 21st century. We've got prime ministers now. We got people like Justin Trudeau now. We don't need the queen. And you find out, well, Trudeau is just one of the little glove puppets of the governor general, who is actually an emissary of the royal family of Britain. And then we keep going up the hierarchy because it goes well past them as well. And you realize, wow, there is something going on in the world that does involve these various families. There's a history to these families. There's a history to the ideas that they espouse. We've got the reason this is also relevant is that we know that Prince/King Charles is good buddies with the WEF. He's out there promoting the climate stuff. He's out, even though he's flying around in his own private jets or whatever. And he's also really talking about a lot of the things we hear people like Klaus Schwab and all the world leaders talking about. He was a big advocate for the COVID policies. He basically falls in line with your typical globalist. A lot of people talk about the globalists. And
now, remember that. Remember what he said about King Charles, because a bit later in the show, in the Hopium Report, we're going to cover more on that with a guy named Bongo, I believe, Craig Bongo. And thank you, Sister Jen, and a bit more on Sister Jen in the Hopium Report. I'm telling you, folks, you can't make this stuff up. It's out there. That's why they call them the Black Nobility. Not because they're black, but because they do some very deep, dark, esoteric things. Now, if you want more information on this, again, from Yandex, you're not going to find this information on a typical search engine. And if you do go out to Yandex, be careful because it's totally unfiltered. It'll pick up pornographic information and whatever. So just make sure you understand what Yandex is. It's a totally unfiltered search engine. And what I found on there were two excellent articles. This first one over at thegovernmentrag.com, The British Royal Family, Pedophilia, and the End of a 1,200-Year Parasitic Monarchy. That's the first one. You read that, you're going to see some really, as Sister Kathy says, freaky deaky stuff. And the second one is over at www.ancient-origins.net. Royals and the Occult, Witchcraft, Astrology, and Mystical Healing. It'll blow your mind, folks, I'm telling you. But I have to keep moving right now. And right now, it's time for our Absurdian Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
Now, I put this next story in the Absurdian Report because it's another thing that the overlords are foisting upon that, and that's the border crisis, not only on our southern border, but it's happening all through the western nations of Europe. And I was thinking about how it could be the final nail in the coffin of our once great republic here. And I pray, like, Lord, if only more people would wake up. Now, if only more non-participating characters, NPCs, and all, and praise the Lord, Terry, quite unsolicited by me the other day, she says, Ken, what are NPCs? And I said, non-participating characters. They're like the characters in the video game that don't do anything. They're just there. And she had this eureka moment. She had a red pill moment. She said, oh, folks, I'm telling you, this is actually the conspiracy of the ages right now. What we're talking about, the final drive towards a one world government, and it's all being unveiled and people are waking up left and right. But I put this into the Absurdian Report because of the clip you're going to hear next. And, you know, I have a very strong belief that although God is sovereign, he has given you and me free will. And although the ultimate plan of God will unfold, I do believe that we could have an impact on how it unfolds. So I would tend to be more of an optimist than a fatalist, and I'd never call myself a pessimist, although people say, well, can you play all that weird stuff? You got to be a pessimist. No, I'm trying to wake people up so that they will do what Jesus said, which is to occupy until I return, because I do believe we have an ability to influence how this all goes down. And I was thinking, if more and more people wake up, we could stop this rapid collapse and slow it down so more people could wake up. You know, when Abram actually negotiated with God before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lord, if I could find 50 righteous people. Lord, if I could find 25 righteous people. That's what I'm all about, folks. I want to get more people awakened to this truth. I want to have more people work with me and the Holy Spirit to get saved. And we do co-labor with the Holy Spirit. So now, if you've listened any amount of time, you know that I've had these strange things happen. So I'm thinking all this the other morning. And wouldn't you know, a Substack article from J.D. Rucker appears in my inbox. Now, if, like I said, you're a regular listener, you'll remember that I've had several of these uncanny parallel thoughts. And then J.D. would come out with an article. And this has happened, and it has happened, and it has happened. And I'll tell you what, folks, it is not by accident. It really isn't. I believe it's supernatural. Oh. Yeah. I believe it's a God thing, Alvin. I really do. So this article pops up right after these thoughts I just shared with you. And the way I do these shows is every morning I get up, I spend some time in the Word. And some of you are on my mailing list for the Bible study, which is based on my official training under the Pastor Training Institute that Adrian Rogers founded before his death. And I go through his sermons and I outline them. I amplify them. I flesh them out, so to speak, and this is all under his guidance and his direction. Long story short, I have a mailing list, so that's what I do. Every morning I spend time in the Word, I go through one of the sermons, and I send out my notes. Then after that, I'll pray and reflect on what can I take out of the Scriptures and apply to whatever the content for next week's show is, and that's where this happened. So then this article pops up. This is how the powers that be achieve their evil goals, by compromising useful idiots in power. So what J.D. does is he features a news clip that the reporter named Taylor Hansen filmed down in San Antonio in a parking lot of a strip mall. I mean, I saw Big Lots. I saw Dollar General. We have them all across America. You know what I'm talking about. He had off-duty San Antonio police officers working under the contract of an NGO, a non-governmental organization, to facilitate the illegal transport of illegal aliens across our border. They were wearing their San Antonio police badges. They had their numbers. They had the cruisers, yet they were off duty. And so you'll hear Taylor Hansen in this next clip questioning them. And just listen to the dynamics and the exchange here. And that's why J.D. Rucker calls these police officers useful idiots. Is that what he called them? Yeah. Useful idiots. That's what all the people being used by these globalist overlords are, useful idiots. And they're the first ones to be destroyed. So let's listen to this, what is it, about a six-minute interview, not interview, news piece that Taylor Hansen does with the San Antonio police officers facilitating this illegal movement of alien invaders, really. That's what they are.
You got to give me a trespass
warning. I'm giving you a
warning
right now. That's your warning.
So, guys, I am currently at the Migrant Center in San Antonio, Texas, where NGOs are facilitating human smuggling of migrants into America. If you look right here, you actually have a San Antonio Police Department car watching as a lookout, basically guarding this area. They're taking side contracts in relation to these NGOs actually being paid a significant amount to guard this area. And I'll walk down here just to show you this even more. They're in their official San Antonio PD uniforms to top it off with their San Antonio PD cars as well. Just to give you a little background real quick.
Are you guys on duty right now?
We're
so you're being, are you being contracted by the NGOs then? Why did you tell them just to say no? So you guys are being contracted by the NGOs?
None of your business. No comment.
It's none of my business. You're San Antonio police, but you're being contracted and paid by NGOs. You're being paid time and a half?
No comment?
But you did confirm you're not on duty. This is a side job for you. So you are being paid by the NGOs. Do you think that's a conflict of interest at all?
Back up.
What I tell
back
you? Up. So you got San Antonio PD here being paid by the NGOs
back up.
To essentially facilitate the human trafficking of illegal migrants into the country.
Outside the gate.
But can I ask you guys a question? These NGOs claim they're not paying for migrants' flights, but the migrants are saying the exact opposite. How this facility in specific works is if the migrants are held here for a certain amount of time without actually being released, then they claim that they can't pay. Ma'am, can I talk to you? Yeah, she doesn't want to hear it because she already knows. So why are you not investigating this for human smuggling? Because they're paying for these migrants' flights into cities, into America. Because you're the police. So this is something that you should be investigating. They're lying about paying for migrants' flights when in reality, they absolutely are paying for migrants' flights and sometimes even double booking and then charging the federal government back. So they're scamming people. But why are you guys, as police officers, not looking into this? And instead, you're taking money from these NGOs and these affiliated organizations.
No comment.
No comment? Again? As police officers, you don't think that you in your official uniform is a conflict of interest at all?
No comment.
And you got Lookout over here providing security as well? Why do you guys have San Antonio PD cars here while you're in your uniforms guarding a migrant facility that is engaging in human smuggling?
No comment.
No comment? So you have these two gentlemen up front helping human smugglers as they're on the police force in their official capacity, but taking money on a side gig. That's what he said earlier. So they're being paid by these NGOs, allowing human smuggling to happen when they should be investigating what is human smuggling into America. No comment on that either?
Nope.
No comment on anything tonight, nope. Huh? Do you think what you're doing is moral?
No comment.
No comment? You probably don't care it's moral because it pays good, right?
No comment.
No comment? What about you, sir? You haven't said much other than telling him not to talk to me tonight. You think this is appropriate what you're doing? Can I get your guys' badge numbers? What's your badge number?
2213.
2213. What about you, sir?
81.
But you said this is a side job, so who's paying you?
You didn't know that.
Why don't I need to know that?
You don't.
Why are you in San Antonio Police Department uniforms if you're off the clock with your San Antonio PD cars here?
I don't need to answer that question.
You don't need to answer it?
No.
Why won't you answer it?
I don't need to.
You don't think it's a conflict of interest?
Who are you?
I'm a reporter. I'm asking you.
I don't care who you are.
You don't care who I am?
I don't care who you are.
So you are being paid by the NGOs.
I don't care who you are.
So you have San Antonio PD here.
You need to get outside the gate.
San Antonio PD here being... So you're not going to answer a question for me, but you're going to attempt to arrest me.
I just have to get you off the property, outside the gate. You can stand out there and report all you want to.
So why are you in public uniforms? You guys are public officials. You work for the... You basically get paid by taxpayer dollars. Or you're here off the clock being paid by NGOs that are facilitating human trafficking, correct? It's kind of weird how you're dodging it. It's a simple yes or no question.
I need to answer your question.
So you are?
I answer your question.
You're kind of answering my question by not answering my question. And considering I know you're already being paid by the NGOs, it seems even more suspicious that you're not willing to admit to it. Quite literally helping facilitate human smuggling
outside the gate
into America.
That's the gate right here. Outside.
Huh?
So, there's a worker. Call him. Run him out. Wait across the street.
So they're running security, making sure everyone has wristbands before they come in here. Insane.
I said... Outside the gate.
2213. Can I see your badge, sir?
No, I already told you what it was.
Will you show me your badge?
No.
Cause I'm not really inclined to believe you with all the shady activity going on here.
That's your problem.
How much are you getting paid to be here?
Well, I just tell you. Outside the gate.
Is it time and a half? You can get the outside official the owners gate. A trespass me if you'd like.
Outside the gate.
You got to give me a warning.
No,
you got to give
I'm
me a trespass
you a warning,
warning
right now. That's your warning.
All right. So, what? Well, San Antonio, what? What's your name? Mikael Wayne, what a name. So, facilitating human smuggling of migrants into America. He's mad that I'm standing past this little line right here, but he's quite literally helping human smugglers facilitate their illegal activities into America. insane. Welcome to America in 2024, guys.
Now, folks, the thing you have to understand that this isn't just about the law being broken or law enforcement being compromised, and it isn't just about our sovereignty being stolen through the border invasions. Now, these are all important things, and it's not even about the human suffering as women and children are raped and bought and sold as sex slaves, and that happens on their way to grab what Joe Biden has promised them, you know. It's sickening. Now, this is all important, but there's a subtext here, like J.D. said in his article, and I really believe, and this is what I was thinking, and this needs to be understood. Now, let's set the premise for this. Now, some Americans are waking up, and I don't know if it's one-tenth of 1%, 1%, or 10%, but it's hardly enough. And there's a big obstacle there, and it's getting even worse. And what we have to do is get the normies to appreciate that the powers that be are working against them. But then we know the problem because we heard it from Josh and Dave with regard to people viewing the government as their nanny. We heard what the libertarian, just forgot her name, that we had Marcus introduce for us. So Americans may be waking up, but they have to understand that these powers that be, the blue bloods, are working against us. And they have to suspend their disbelief in conspiracy. Yet sadly, so many Americans have been raised to think that when they hear the word conspiracy, and if it's associated with anyone like me, oh, he must be crazy, but I'm not, folks. These people are conspiring against us. And I did an entire series on what the Bible says about conspiracy. So we have to understand that the scope here is tremendous, and there's a prerequisite that people have to wake up to the reality of our situation, and it is grave, folks, and we have to fix our sights on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have to understand that as his sons and daughters, we have a real power, and we have to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, we can stand against their depopulation agenda and their global control agenda and their whole drive for the great taking. We can stand up and say, no, there's millions and tens of millions of us for every one of them, folks. And remember, you're not battling against that individual. You're battling against the principalities and the powers in high places that are above them. So the police officers depicted in this video aren't thinking about the damage they're doing. What they're thinking about is their big fat paycheck, and they can go buy their flat screen over at Walmart. You know, that's the way people think today. We're wage slaves, folks. We're no different than the serfs from that Robert Bruce movie that Terry and I watched. So until more Americans understand this harsh reality, they're going to expect more of this. Now, most of my friends and my family are so worn out and so alienated by me incessantly preaching all of this. They're tired of my warnings. And my someday never comes, that's what they say. I've been called Noah. I've been called a fear porn purveyor. I've been called a doomer and a gloomer. But I'm telling you, we have to persist because our friends and family's very existence depends upon shedding all these normalcy biases, so to speak, and embracing what truly is real and what truly is true. And I'm going to cover more of that in Ken's Corner. But we are under siege, folks. A siege against our culture and a siege against our very mentality. And we have to stand up and fight back, not physically, but spiritually and intellectually. Or our way of life's going to fade away. Our voices can be made into weapons. And our weapons will become just like their weapons in this information war. So if you're a new listener, spread the word. And I want to share that story about one of our newest listeners and welcome her to the podcast. And her name is Jen. And I'm just going to leave it with this. Onward, Christian soldiers. Amen. And right now, it's time for our Hopium Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort, prepared to get high on
Hopium.
Now, what I'm very excited to share with you is a email that I received from one of our newest listeners, and her name is Sister Jen. And if you're listening, Sister Jen, welcome. And folks, there's a lot of listeners, but there's not a lot of listeners that actively participate. So if you actively participate, send me information, send me words of encouragement, go out there and post. And oh, by the way, Sister Jen said that she would post, and I actually just clicked on one of the links that she recommended I listen to, and it was a Facebook link, and I went there, and sure enough, Sister Jen posted the last podcast. And guess what, folks? I'm seeing an increase in listenership. So if all of you did that, imagine, you know, one could become 10, 10 could become 100, 100 could become 1,000, and we could keep growing this. I don't have support like Mike Adams and the crew at InfoWars has. I don't have a staff and a team. It's me and you, and we make this show. So I could use all your help. So what I'd like to do is I have Victoria reading through Jen's email that she gave me permission to share with you. And we just go by first names here. So she's Sister Jen, and listen to what Victoria reads from her email. A couple typos in it I didn't fix, but you'll get the gist here.
Hello, Brother Ken. My journey has been guided by the Lord. Here a little, and there a little. In the 1990s, I used to deliver newspapers and enjoyed listening to the Art Bell show late at night. Over the years, I have gotten my information online from Tribulation Now and Steve Quayle, Doug Hagman, Alex Jones, Marshall.Masters, Stuart Best, and Larry W. Taylor's show Night Shadows. Pastor Chuck Miller, and Dave Hunt, but at all times, just like when eating fish, taking the good part and leaving the bones that didn't seem to line up with Scripture. I have not been on the F Facebook app as I was many times restricted and shadow banned and censored. I simply use Facebook on the website, which I don't enjoy as much as the app, but I don't want to make another account. I feel like a lone albatross here in my extended family. I'm labeled a conspiracy theorist and cuckoo. But that is par for the course. When is your next podcast? I hope I haven't. Missed it already, but I can find it. Perhaps you can keep posting it on X. My eyes are not as sharp as they used to be, and also my mind. 70. I don't want to miss it. Thank you for your encouragement.
Oh, I'll tell you what. There's one thing I have to do right here. Thank you, Sister Jen. I can't tell you the encouragement that brings to me when I hear that sometimes this labor of love, which I question, Lord, are you going to give me a release so I don't have to do this show anymore? Never comes. So we are making a difference, and I believe Sister Jen probably brought 10 to 15, 20 more listeners. It's hard to tell with the variation, but I told you all that I lost a lot when I started to speak out against some of the current accept narratives out there. And the more I speak out about these things, which may be painful to hear, the more listeners I lose. So those of you that care to know truth, I'll promise to deliver it to you the best that I understand the truth. And when I make a mistake like I did with Winston Churchill, I'll come out and say, hey, I made a mistake. I'm not playing that Winston Churchill clip anymore because that man practiced genocide early in his political career and probably throughout his entire time as prime minister. But now what I'd like to share with you is what Sister Jen brought to the table in her first or second email to me. And this is a warning, major black swan event coming in 2024. And this is on the Janie Duvall show. And she has a regular guest, Craig Bong, talk about this major black swan event. And he goes through the Agenda 2030, and you can see it on the banner, the various topics, and he explains how COP28 that happened last November, where King Charles basically came out as potentially the Antichrist, is making a big splash. So let's have a listen to Janie Duvall talk with Craig Bong, just the intro. That's all we're going to cover, and then you can catch that over on YouTube on Janie Duvall's page. Let's have a listen.
in the next few weeks or days. It's going to happen early 2024, regardless if it happens in January or not. 2024 is bringing about a black swan event to restart, reset the world.
Craig, in December of 2023 of COP28, 198 parties or leaders, 198, all met. And to me, that was a setup for the tribulation, because when you see what happened as an outcome of all of that, and some people who have, you know, watched some of our previous shows said, oh, what happened? Well, a lot happened that you have no idea about. I mean, really, do you honestly think 198 leaders and more people came together and nothing happened? More happened than ever before. And we're going to be revealing some of that in documents. And also, what's coming up in 2024? All of this stuff is converging, and there are events that are happening in 2024. It's all a setup for the tribulation. Okay, Craig, what's going on?
So on December 13th, the world agreed upon a seven-year deal. And here it is right here. And I have the full document, and it's 21 pages.
Shazam!
That's right, Gomer, Shazam. These people have just made a pact with the devil. And I'll tell you, folks, buckle your seatbelts, because 2024 is going to be a wild ride. We've heard it from so many diverse, disparate sources now. But I have to keep moving. And right now, it's time for Ken's Corner, spelled with a K.
Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started.
Now today, folks, I would like to talk to you about these words, certain words. And there's a name for that type of word. It's not synonym. And it's, of course, not an antonym, but there's another word for it. And I didn't have time to look it up. So if you know it, email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com. And then I'll let everybody know that you helped me out with the show. So anyways, they're words that are similar but different. Words like freedom and liberty. Now, a lot of times we use them synonymously, but they're not. Or a word like happy and joyful. Again, similar but different. Or how about this is one of my favorites, legal and lawful. Man makes things legal, but God is the ultimate law. So a man's law can be legal, but it can be unlawful if it goes against God's law. And most importantly, what I'd like to talk to you about today, and we've covered this in the past, and that's the difference between a fact and the truth. Now, today, people really don't much care about the truth. They only care if it works, and that makes them pragmatists. So today what we've done is we've sacrificed the truth for style. And we never stop and ask, is what that man or woman speaking or that government official is saying, is that the truth? Dead, we ask. Do I like that guy? Is that woman reasonable? Is what she's saying politically correct? Or is he cool? Now, we shouldn't be interested in that. What we should be interested in is the truth. But what we have instead is one nation under greed, like we heard those San Antonio police officers doing that for their probably time and a half or double time pay from the NGO. We care more about the stock market and whether what Washington and the Federal Reserve and Wall Street are doing is going to make our retirement fund bigger. We don't care whether it's lawful. Just so it's legal, we don't care whether it's destroying people's lives on the other side of the world as they work in slave labor camps to make that. I'm trying to make here is that the difference between lawful and legal is that God defines what is lawful, whereas man decides what is legal. That's what I alluded to in the introduction here. The problems begin in all organizations, including churches, when a man's legalism no longer truly reflects God's law. And I see that in so many things. Just take the doctrine of eternal security. And you get people on one side getting all upset and flustered with people on the other side. And you know what I think it boils down to, folks, is a matter of semantics. Jesus said that if we abide in him, we will have eternal life. Now, if you lose that eternal life in 3 years, did you have eternal life? No, you had a three-year life. That's my point. So either the Bible's true or it isn't. Now, if you took all the knowledge from the beginning of recorded history until 1845 and made it all condensed down into a one-inch stack of paper, and then you add the information from 1845 to 1945, that one-inch stack of paper, let's just say it was all done in some sort of zip code, you know, compressed coding, that would grow from a one-inch stack of coded papers to a three-inch stack. And then from 1945 to 1975, stack of papers would grow to the height of the Washington Monument. And then from 1975 to present, it would nearly reach the moon. So knowledge, as the prophet Daniel said, is doubling exponentially, geometrically. But the truth never changes. Yet sadly, so many people confuse knowledge or facts with the truth. And the Bible says that men are ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So my point I'm trying to make to you folks is that God's standard never changes. His standard is the truth. And God has written the Bible, and that's called the Word of Truth. And God has given us his Holy Spirit, which is called the Spirit of Truth. And God is building his bride, the one pure church. And it's called the pillar and the ground of truth. And God sent his only begotten Son, who is called, quite literally, the truth. You know, Jesus wrote, he has no greater joy than to know that his children walk in the truth. I'm sorry, not Jesus. St. John said that in his epistle. Yet sadly, I'm telling you, the truth has fallen in the streets, as my beloved sister Becky, who we did the Sozo's ministry with, God rest her soul. The truth has literally fallen in the streets, even in the aisles of so many churches today. But remember, the hypocrite's judgment is going to be grounded upon the truth. And we're going to talk about that at the end of the show a bit more. God knows the truth. Praise the Lord. God is the truth, and God will judge each and every one of us. We're all hypocrites in some way, folks, by the truth, no matter what office he or she may hold, no matter what position in the church he or she may hold, no matter how much money's in their bank account, no matter how good they look, how smart they are, we all will be judged by the truth. And the truth is to our spirits what food is to our bodies, what light is to your eyes, and what music is to your ears, folks. Now, the hypocrite doesn't understand that God's going to judge them by the truth. So the hypocrite has three fatal flaws in their thinking. And I hope you stay tuned to the end of the show, and I'd like to go through those. And if we run out of time, we'll finish those next week. But right now, buckle your seatbelts, folks, because it's time for our Back to the Future episode. The segment where we take something from the past and bring it back to the future. Now, you know, we're in part eight of our 10-part series honoring Janet Ossenbard, creator of the Fall of the Cabal, and may God rest her soul. And I pray that she came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ before her untimely demise, where she was suicided. And in this segment, part eight, titled Adrenochrome, Satanic Death Cult, Beyond Kings, Queens, and the Elite, we're going to hear Janet do an incredible job revealing some of these sick occult practices of these blue bloods, the Hollywood movers and shakers, and what have you. Now, what I did is anywhere she was showing a lot of pictures, I would take out that music to compress this. So this is about this Fall of the Cabal is how long here? I have it in my notes. Let me take a look here. Fall of the Cabal is about 17 minutes long, and you're going to hear about the hunting parties of the European royal families. You can hear about the bigger picture of Pizzagate and the adrenochrome harvesting and the survivor accounts. There's some people she mentions. Look their names up and read their backstory. She's going to talk about the English royal family and their connection to Epstein. And, oh, do you remember the naked boy that was trying to escape Buckingham Palace and that whole news story just went dead that was back in, I believe, 2015? She talks about that, too. And then she talks about the ITCCS and Kevin Annett and the 50,000 murdered children in Canada. And just pay attention to that, because we're going to get into that a bit later after this. But she has a lot of good information in there, including the red shoes. So much good information, folks. So buckle your seatbelts, and let's have a listen to part 8 of The Fall of the Cabal.
The more I studied the hidden side of the European royal families, the further I fell down the rabbit hole, until I stumbled upon something extremely dark. I will spare you the gruesome details. They are too horrific, too sickening. I urge you to do your own research. Google the names you're about to hear, read and listen for yourself, and make up your own mind. This is where Pizzagate returns to the story. Pizzagate is not just an American problem, it's a global problem. Let's get down to the real definition of Pizzagate. Worldwide, children are stolen and sold to elite pedophile rings. They are tortured, raped, and murdered as part of satanic ritual ceremonies. The murderers then drink the children's blood and they eat their flesh. The blood of children who were severely traumatized before they died contains adrenochrome, a natural drug produced by the pineal gland in the brain. Adrenochrome is the highest valued drug in the world. The god these people serve is Satan. It's not a god of love and mercy. Whether or not you believe in the existence of Satan is not relevant. They do. And according to each and every eyewitness who has the guts to step forward, Pizzagate is real. Remember Mel Gibson's statements? He was ousted for not wanting to participate. He witnessed it, though. And he is one of the very few who dares to speak about it. Personally, I think it's a miracle that he's still alive. Adrenochrome is real. It is the ultimate drug. This is what you look like when you take it, and this is when you no longer have access to it, thanks to President Trump. There was not as much time between these photos as you may think. Not many children survive the satanic ritual ceremonies. The very few ones that do were not meant to be killed. They were there to sexually serve the elite. Royalty, sheikhs, top politicians, bankers, judges, church leaders, worldwide. Most survivors were born into satanic cult families. When you study all of the survivors' accounts, you will see they have a lot in common. The same description of the atrocity inflicted upon them, the same names of perpetrators, and the same elite they belong to. The problem, however, is that these survivors are not believed by most people. It's easier to assume that they're insane or attention seekers than to face the horrible truth. Furthermore, not many survivors dare to step forward. They are simply too traumatized. I spent countless hours listening to their horrifying accounts. I read police reports, and I am convinced these people are not crazy. They are not attention seekers, nor liars. Their stories are consistent. Please do your own research and find out about the following victims and or eyewitnesses. The Dutch Annemarie van Blijenburg, Toos Nijenhuis, Anneke Lucas, and Ronald Bernard. The Irishman, Richard Kerr. Brother and sister, Gabriel and Eliza Dearman from the UK. The American, Sarah Ruth Ashcroft. And the Australian, Fiona Barnett. Whenever a child sex offender was arrested in the Netherlands and its neighboring Belgium, think Mark Dutroux, Robert Mikkelsen's, they all swore they were supplying children for a large elite network. They were not believed. They were presented to the public as lone wolves, operating on their own. Most viewers will now, once again, experience some more cognitive dissonance. But hey, remember when the first reports emerged about the sexual abuse of boys and girls by Catholic priests and nuns? At first, nobody believed it. People were too shocked to handle it. But now, so many years later, it is common knowledge to most people. The church paid millions of dollars to its victims in an effort to silence them. We now have the evidence. We have numbers, statistics. People have grown used to the idea that priests, bishops and cardinals rape children on an enormous scale. And if you think the popes wash their hands in innocence, you're in for a big shock. Now I realize that satanic cult offerings of babies and children is a step further than sexual abuse. But I can assure you that more and more victims will soon speak up. And step by step, people can work their way through their cognitive dissonance so that soon we'll be able to save these children. Where do these children come from? How come they can simply disappear without a trace, without worried parents who report them missing? They come from orphanages, children's homes, youth detention centers. Some are homeless. Many are refugees fleeing wars. These children are stolen, sold. We're talking the fastest growing trade here. According to the survivors, not only the Dutch, but also the British royal family are heavily involved in all of this. Back in the 1980s, a major controversy arose when it became clear that Prince Charles was a very close friend of Jimmy Savile, a notorious pedophile. Not only Charles, the entire royal family loved Savile, as did Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher. Savile was named by many victims and was said to have been extremely violent and cruel. He was never prosecuted and died a free man. Then there's the interesting close friendship between Prince Andrew and convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. Epstein held several young women as sex slaves, hiring them to his elite friends such as Prince Andrew. The royal family has always denied the allegations. And there's more. In 2015, a video emerged, shot by a Swedish tourist at Buckingham Palace. It shows a naked boy climbing out of a window of the palace using a bed sheet. The boy cannot hold on and falls to the ground. The mainstream media tried their utmost best to debunk the video. Buckingham Palace declined to comment on the video, and the Metropolitan Police said they had no reports of the incident. Now, I don't know what it is with the royal family, but something's definitely weird. Have a look at Prince William's wife, Kate, right after giving birth in 2018. Why on earth would she pick a dress that is identical to the one in the horror movie Rosemary's Baby, where Rosemary gives birth to Satan's child? What kind of an insane coincidence is that? According to the satanic ritual abuse survivors, the popes too were and are heavily involved. Pope Francis, Pope Benedict, like I said, they do not wash their hands in innocence. On the contrary. Both Pope Francis and the Dutch Prince Bernhard loved hunting parties, according to the survivors. Once again, I will do you the great favor of sparing you the disgusting details, but it boils down to this. The hunting parties took place in secret in forests, most of which belonged to royal estates in several European countries. The participants, all part of the before-mentioned elite satanic pedophile cult, would hunt down children, rape them, murder them, and cut off their genitals as a trophy. In February 2013, former Pope Benedict Joseph Ratzinger was prosecuted and sentenced by default for crimes against humanity by the International Tribunal into Crimes of Church and State. Ratzinger's crimes included child trafficking and protecting priests who had raped children. Is this why he stepped down, even though being a pope is a nomination for life? Interesting little detail is that lightning struck St. Peter's twice, only moments after his resignation. The same verdict followed for Pope Francis. One accusation was added, complicity in murder in Argentina. Others who were also prosecuted and sentenced for crimes against humanity were the British Queen Elizabeth Windsor and her husband Prince Philip, former Canadian Prime Minister Harper, and 27 other dignitaries. Whether or not this will lead to arrests? Time will tell. For now, both the Pope and the royal family enjoy immunity. The International Tribunal into Crimes of Church and State extensively investigated the case of the rape, torture, and murder of 50,000 Native children in Canada. The United Church of Canada, the Anglican Church, and the British royal family played a major role in this case, as did the Dutch royal family, who fled to Canada to be safe from World War II. As far back as 1942, an investigative journalist of the Canada Gazette thoroughly studied the case and came to the shocking conclusion that 50,000 Native children had disappeared from 80 Canadian Indian residential schools and that 31 mass grave sites have been found inside the school grounds containing the remains of children. Now, as shocking as this may be, it is nothing new. On a regular basis, mass baby and children's graves are discovered, often near nunneries. In some cases, we don't know exactly what happened. In other cases, we do know, due to forensic evidence and the eyewitness accounts of survivors. Mel Gibson was right when he said that satanic cults with child sacrifices are nothing new. It goes way back into history. For thousands of years, children have been murdered to please Satan, Lucifer, Baal, Moloch, or whatever you want to call him. I have found many paintings of child sacrifice in Catholic churches during my own research. It's part of human history, but that doesn't mean it's okay. We all know about the Aztecs and the human sacrifices, and we can deal with that, for it's old. But until recently, I was not aware of any of this. I'd never heard about Pizzagate and satanic Luciferian cults with child sacrifice. I thought it belonged to the past, to the Dark Ages. Well, I guess we're still living in the Dark Ages. All of the satanic cults are connected worldwide. People at the highest level are only at the highest level because they participate. And once you're in for life through blackmail with pictures and video footage taken in secret. And some don't even need blackmail. They simply thrive on the pain and suffering of others. Some names have been named. Others will follow soon. The people will be shocked to the core when this comes out. Let me give you one piece of advice. When the video of Hillary Clinton and her right hand, Huma Abedin, raping, torturing, mutilating, and killing a little girl comes out in the open, do not watch it. You will not sleep again. There are certain things I will not share with you here, simply because they are too horrific. Like the shower torture of a child by John Podesta. Search and find it for yourself if you like. I wish to wake people up, not traumatize them. The same goes for the red shoes. You want to know what they're made of? Do your own research. I'll give you a small hint. The tradition of red shoes for the elite goes all the way back to the Byzantine tradition when kings would wear them as symbols of bloody martyrdom. The video, by the way, was found on the confiscated laptop of Anthony Weiner, the ex-husband of Huma Abedin. It was stored together with thousands of other files in a folder called Life Insurance. Talk about blackmail. Weiner, by the way, was sentenced to serve 21 months in prison for sending sexual texts to a minor back in 2017. Oh, and the good news is, Weiner's laptop has officially been accepted in court as evidence. I can assure you, we'll be hearing a lot more about its contents very soon. Now, what happens when you try to make any of this public? either your TV career ends right there and then, or you get a heart attack. Or your plane crashes. Or you end up dead in a hotel room. Or you are found with a bullet in your back. Or you commit suicide. And guess what? I haven't even shown you the real top of the pyramid of power yet. Just the visible top. Did you think the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, George Soros, the government leaders, even the royal families, did you think they are the top of the 1%? They are not. There is a very dark order above them all, making puppets of everybody else, even of kings and queens. Ever heard of the Jesuit order? Did you know that there are three popes instead of one? Ever heard of Agenda 21? Of its sequel? The depopulation program? This is so big, it does not fit in this first documentary. It will form a film of its own, which I promise to present in the very near future. What I wish to give you now is hope. After all of this misery, it's time for some light. And the good news is, there is plenty of that. Come with me, finally, to the good news in parts 9 and 10.
Thank you, Karen Ossenbart, and may God rest your soul. Now, she mentioned somebody in there. That was Kevin Annette, and he was a former pastor of the church in Canada. I forget the name of the church. Let me see if I have it in my show notes. Do not have the name of the church in my show notes and forget what she said. Oh, United Church of Canada. Now, in this next clip, this is a news interview recently. Well, 2021. Now, Kevin Arnett made the news back in 2013 when he was defrocked, and the church leaders of the United Church actually arranged for his wife's divorce. They paid for it, the very institution that's supposed to promote marriage. And why? Because he was unfaithful to his wife? No. Why? Because he was unfaithful to the church teachings? No. Because he exposed a pedophile ring that the church was involved in. So let's have a listen. Oh, and by the way, he has a website titled murderbydecree.com, and he does what are known as ITCCS updates, and they're current, folks. So Kevin is still active. So let's listen to this interview with Bridge City News and how this is actually still relevant today.
Last week, we introduced you to Kevin Annette, a former minister who was kicked out of the United Church for shining a light on the atrocities of residential schools. He wrote a book on the subject called Murder by Decree. Kevin is back with us again this week. Kevin, for many, the news of finding the bodies of over 200 children is hard to comprehend. Many of us are shocked and, of course, saddened, but you've been working on uncovering this since 1995, what was your initial reaction as a pastor when you heard from the eyewitnesses over the years?
When the church fired me, they went to my wife and offered to pay for her divorce. And they arranged to get my kids taken from me in family court. And when I saw that level of kind of collusion going on, the courts, I knew there was a lot they were covering up. But I thought, if they could do that to me, one of their own ministers, imagine what they could do to some Native kid. You know, of course they're going to kill them. They're just viewing them as non-humans. And that's, they, you know, people can suppress the knowledge all they like, but it'll come out one day. It's like any trauma that somebody faces, it's going to come out. And it's just unfortunate that the government is suppressing more than they're revealing. Naturally, their lawyers are telling them they've got to protect themselves. But it's time we took this out of the hands of politicians and lawyers and let the people themselves know. If you talk to most Canadians, white Canadians, they want to do the right thing, the well-intentioned people. They just didn't know these things. And, you know, they're being discouraged all the time. Even in the Native world on the reservations, the chiefs that are all government funded, they've been told you can't look into these things. They were told that years ago. I've even had people who are at meetings with the church, between the churches and the top, Native organizations. And they made a deal in the late 90s saying, we will give you money for lawsuits about physical and sexual abuse, provided you never talk about dead children or mass graves. And they all agreed. And that went on for, that deal continued. Now, for some reason, now it's changing. And I think it's just another maneuver going on. But they agreed not to. They threatened their own people never to talk about these graves.
Kevin, others have investigated these residential school atrocities. And in your book, Murder by Decree, you share the findings of Dr. Peter Bryce. Can you tell us about the work of Dr. Bryce?
Peter Bryce was an Ontario health officer who was hired by Duncan Campbell Scott, who was head of Indian Affairs in 1907, because there was a lot of criticism coming about the conditions in these places. So they expected Dr. Bryce to go and give the usual kind of whitewash. He did the opposite. He actually said in the famous quote from his book, which I've reprinted in murderbydecree.com, he wrote a book after about it, called A National Crime. He said, I believe the conditions are being deliberately created to spread infectious disease. Over half these children are dying. So he described a practice in all of the schools where healthy children were taken and made to sleep in the same dorm as children dying of tuberculosis, and then they were never treated. They just died off basically through germ warfare. And we have eyewitnesses describing that. We produced a documentary film in 2007 called Unrepentant. It's up online. And we have over a dozen people describing that, how they would, the nuns would force them to play and sleep with the kids who had tuberculosis. We even have a picture of children in the on the Sarcee Reservation in Alberta in the school sitting in a classroom with bandages around their head. And it says they have open tubercular sores. Well, you know, in the white world, when you have tuberculosis back then, before penicillin, you were rushed off to a sanitarium. But there's a different standard with Indians, and we're deliberately spreading disease to kill them, and that's how so many of them died.
Now, Dr. Bryce published his book in 1922, so here we are 100 years later, and these incidents are still lacking proper investigation. So do you believe there should still be an international inquiry?
Absolutely. And in fact, we did such an inquiry back in 2013. The verdict of that was that the Crown, the Government of Canada, Catholic, Anglican, United Churches, the Vatican, all these agencies are guilty of deliberate genocide. And it's one of the reasons Pope Benedict stepped down back in 2013, because this stuff began to get surfaced. And the Catholic Church ran over half of these places. And the evidence is just overwhelming. It's not a problem of lack of evidence. It's where do you take it? When the agencies that did it have been exonerated, they've been illegally indemnified by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, the kind of misnamed commission where people weren't even allowed to name names. They couldn't take down as evidence any description of a crime or a dead child. It was a total whitewash. So we need a genuine inquiry, but it's going to have to come from the people themselves and from supporters in other countries because, you know, Canada is just getting away with murder.
That was Kevin Annett, author of Murder by Decree.
You know, God bless that man. Kevin will certainly find his treasures heaped up in heaven, and then he'll be able to cast those gifts before the feet of the King Jesus. He has been ostracized beyond my ability to comprehend here on earth, not only by his church and his peers, but by his family, the leaders of Canada, the government, and even some of the Indian chiefs up in Canada, the very people that he's trying to protect and defend. And I love that term, the Truth and Reconciliation Committee. It reminded me of the Ministry of Truth from George Orwell's 1984. Now, I think the most heartbreaking thing there, and we have to lift our prayers up for Pastor Kevin Arnett, and that is the breakup of his family by the church. So he not only lost his job and his livelihood and his ability to preach the truth, Well, he can still preach the truth, but not from that pulpit. He lost his family, folks. So many have turned their back on him. But here, 25 to 30 years later, the truth will finally begin to prevail. But it's always in God's time, folks. So I pray blessings upon Kevin Annette and the remnant that's out there. And folks, that remnant includes you and me. So what I'd like to do right now with the time that's left is talk about the truth and hypocrites and how God will judge all hypocrites by his truth. So remember, I said that light is to our eyes and music is to our ears, just as truth is to our spirits. It's the food, the literal food for our spirits. And we have to keep our spirits strong, folks. And today I'd like to talk about the sin of a hypocrite. And those of you who have heard the word, but you turn a blind eye to it and live lives of duplicity, that's a hypocrite, folks. Now, the hypocrite doesn't understand that God is going to judge them by the truth. Perhaps they don't. Maybe they do, but I doubt it. Because if you did, you would have fear and trembling in your very being. So the hypocrite has three basic fatal flaws in their thinking. So they are mistaken by the idea that their outward appearance is all that matters. A hypocrite thinks he can simply appear righteous, and he will be, or by some sort of osmosis, become righteous. And Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 23, verses 25 through 28, where he woes the scribes and Pharisees, calling them hypocrites, for they make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess. He calls them blind, and he says they cleanse first that which is with, or they should cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may also be clean. And woe unto the scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like a whited sepulcher, which is indeed appearing beautiful outwardly, but within are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. So Jesus was talking about the religious mafia of his day, kind of like the people that attacked Kevin Annette. And these were the scribes and Pharisees. And then he says, dead men's bones? Like King Tut, who had that mask on, that golden, beautiful mask in that solid gold sepulcher or coffin. Yet what was he? He was just a bag full of old skin holding dead bones. So the hypocrite thinks that all that matters is how he dresses on Sunday morning before going to church, or how he sings and greets people after the service, and how good his hugs and smiles are. That's the religious spirit of St. Paul's age and the religious spirit of today, and it's dangerous. Paul said in Romans chapter 22, verses 21 and 22, thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Now you may be thinking, well, thank God I'm not that type of person. I'm not an adulterer. I don't worship other gods. Well, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, Jesus said, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So I'm going to ask you a question, folks. Have you ever looked at someone other than your spouse and had a sexual thought? If so, you, my friend, are an adulterer. And I'm not perfect there either, folks. I'm not. If I don't have my guard up and I come out of a grocery store and I see a very attractive woman coming in, I have to really be careful, folks. Now, it's not a danger to catch that glance. What's a danger is to let your mind run wild. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15 says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. So you may be sitting there saying, well, I'm not a murderer. Well, if you hate someone, you are. Now, we often think that it's only the outward appearance that matters, but the Bible is saying here so clearly that there's no excuse and likewise no escape. You know, the Bible's teaching that the problem with the hypocrite is that the sin is on the inside and not the outside. They're pretenders, and they need to be pitied, and they need our prayers, folks. Now, these hypocrites found in the church are those who don't have the courage to out and out serve the devil on the outside, nor the true grace to rightly serve the Lord on the inside. And that's an enigma. Amen. So he ends up being a big actor, a respectable sinner, but still, bottom line, he's a sinner. So that sinner makes a mistake with respect to his appearance, and then also he gets this mistaken idea, this stinking thinking, that he's getting along in life, and that defines his standing before the Lord. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Buyest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" Did you catch that there, folks? So people have this mistaken idea, this stinking thinking, that if they have no problems, then they got to be right with God. They think, oh, I'm healthy, have a big fat bank account, no problems. So God must love me, well, which he does, and he must be okay with me because he's blessing me. So I have no need to repent. Just look at all these blessings I have. I don't have my buzzer queued up, but I'd buzz that stinking thinking, folks. The blessings of God don't mean you're right with God. He gives blessings to bring us closer to him. So it doesn't matter what you have. You still need to repent and trust, and then trust and obey. Verse 4 says, "The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." Now, do you know why so many people are not upset? I mean, really not upset with adultery, lies, corruption, porn. It's because of these blessings. They wrongly figure that it mustn't be bad because God's not cursing them. So ipso facto, God must approve. That's stinking thinking, folks. To reason, if God doesn't approve, he wouldn't be blessing me. Therefore, God must be on my side, and God must be on the side of America. But that's dead wrong, folks. The fact is, if you continue in sin in the midst of God's blessing, then judgment's coming. And when it does, it's going to be much harsher. And I'm telling you, America must repent right now, because his judgment draweth nigh. Now, if you're being blessed now, and Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, please, 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 folks, come to Jesus. Do you know this is what I opened the show with? And I want to share it with you right now. But before Sodom and Gomorrah fell, they were in this abundant prosperity and blessings. Ezekiel says in 16, verse 49, "Behold, this is the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters, which did not strengthen the hand of the poor and needy." Pretty profound, isn't it, folks? So they had so much food, and that brought free time. And that free time led to pride, and then in their idleness and pride, they became haughty and committed this abomination before the Lord, which was homosexuality. Now, there's a lot of people out there saying, hey, they weren't judged because of their homosexuality. Well, yes and no, but their homosexuality was the fruit of their spirit, which was a haughty spirit, a prideful spirit, a spirit spawned out of idleness and a lack of compassion, all antithesis to the love of God that we should all share with our brothers and sisters, and most importantly with God. And this is the truth. So I'm calling for all the churches of America to wake up. I'm calling for all the people of America to wake up. We are in a war, and the souls of our loved ones are literally at stake. You know, church isn't about living better. Church is supposed to be about what Jesus said in John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for I to go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more, and of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged." So Sodom was at an all-time high when it fell. And then Jesus said in Luke, I believe these are the words of Jesus, in Luke 13, verses 1 through 5, They were present at that season, some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered them and said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Were those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelleth in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Wow. Right here, folks, Jesus spoke of two current affairs, a slaughter by Pilate of some Galileans and a tower that fell and killed these people. So here Jesus is warning that just because something bad didn't happen to you or me doesn't mean that we are necessarily right with God. The bottom line, we must all repent or we will perish. And you know what the Greek word all means? It means all, each and every one of us, we must repent. So a hypocrite wrongly thinks that their outward appearance and blessings are all that matters and means that they're justified before God. And then finally, I'm going to wrap it up here. The hypocrite wrongly reasons that a delayed judgment means there's no judgment coming. Romans chapter 2, verse 5 reads, But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up upon thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So this means that when God is good to someone and they harden their heart against God, it's like a storing up of the wrath, so to speak, in the wrath bank for the day of judgment. And in a sense, this also applies to nations. And one day, I'm telling you, very soon, God will come and he will ask, what have you done with all that I've given you? Folks, do you want to know why God doesn't judge sin right now? Well, he does it because he's waiting until the fullness of sin comes in, until the ripples of today's sin reaches the shores of eternity, so to speak. Friends, I'm telling you, we sin. Or should say, if we sin, when we sin, it's like putting in a bank and earning interest on that sin. And then when judgment comes, look out. So I implore you to be covered by the blood, because then that sin judgment will not be put on your account. So the judgment, when it does come, if you're not covered by the blood, will be according to the truth. Outward appearance, blessings, and delayed judgment, they mean nothing, folks. No one will escape. Now, it may seem like you did today if you are not standing on the blood of Jesus, but that's simply not true, folks. No one will escape. Romans chapter 2, verse 3, And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them, which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Folks, do you really think you're going to escape God's judgment? Well, I'm telling you, the answer is no. God's going to rip that hypocritic mask off your face and reveal your false faith, and your judgment will be according to the truth. So if you don't know Jesus, and if this has stirred you the slightest bit, repent of your sin. Come and surrender to Jesus. Depend upon him as your Lord and Savior. Rest in the Lord Jesus and turn to him, not the government, not the talking heads, not all these false authorities that want to create this Oedipus complex in you, so to speak, but turn to the Lord and worship him, because he is the only one truly worthy of our worship. And then in the words of St. Paul, read by Valentino, just rest and reflect upon these, folks.
Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. S-T-A-N-D. So, God tells each and every one of us to stand, having our loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So, my dear friends, both Bro Ken and myself, Valentino, urge you to remain standing always in the full armor of God as his mighty warriors for the truth.
And remember, folks, after you have surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ as both your Lord and your Savior, you are literally given the same spirit that rose Jesus from the grave. And that's the Holy Spirit to abide in you, to comfort you, to guide you and teach you. So let's lift our hands up with Jeremy Camp and praise the Lord and recognize that that same spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, that same spirit lives in you and me. I love you all, folks, and I'll be back next week, provided the Lord's willing, with part 9 in our Fall of the Cabal series. I love you all.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation, where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, to show a world that looks like there is no hope that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace, to stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word.
The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commanded the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can call the raging sea, lives in us, lives in us. He lives in us, lives in us.
We all cry out for change in our world, but many times you are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and the victory is in Jesus.